will drain your faith. Hallelujah. You can build up faith in the Word of God, and you can let it trial. See, look, everybody, go ahead and best start it. Everybody faces trials. I told Travis, I said, you know, even cats, they face trials. They land on the back porch. Teresa takes the food in. She won't give it to them. They stand there, meow, meow. One of them climbs on the door up there, and I'm like, so I'll tell her, hey, your kids are hungry out there. That's a trial to them cats. Be better if the bowl was full all the time, full of water. Don't bring it in. She has a reason why she takes it in, because the neighbor's cats are getting fat off of her. Right? So, but the cats don't understand the trial. Right? Yeah. Us cats, we in the 70s, Mac. Sometimes us cats don't realize these trials are to build us. Yeah. Hallelujah. We had a good time Sunday night, I thought we did.
Some of us did.
Huh? Some of us had a good time. Hallelujah. When you're full of the Word and you want God and you want to grow and develop, and you'll have a good time under the anointed preached words. Even if it's slicing you up, so cutting you open, taking something out, and sewing you back up and healing you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God for that opportunity, though, to go up there and to minister. And thank you, Johnny and Samantha and y'all for back, you know, coming up there and honoring God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Mac, thank none of us deserve nothing. If I tonight, and I'm giving you a little nugget here as well as myself, because I have to remind myself all the time, I don't feel worthy far as in myself to pastor this church. I don't feel worthy to have God's blessing and honor. But it's got not anything to do with my working and doing enough to be worthy of it. So just always remember that. The only reason you're worthy is because Jesus, you let Jesus come into your life and you love Him and you serve Him and you go up there and you get them people saved. Hallelujah. You're commissioned from this church to go up there. You got it on your wall now. You go up there 80, 90, 100 years old, get them saved. Hallelujah. Pray God they sick, anoint them with oil and pray for them. Hallelujah. That God will heal them. Long satisfied. We're backing you up. Hallelujah. I'm believing God you'll go up there and some of them old folk lonely, they won't be lonely no more. Carry the Holy Ghost in there and they'll just have such a good time in the Lord in that service till it lasts them all week. The joy of the Lord is their strength. When trials comes, hallelujah, you're going to have trials. You cannot get around it in this life. Hallelujah. The trials are going to come. But what's important is how you react to a trial. Somebody does you evil, overcome evil with good. You take the Word of God. You can be skilled in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will help you. But if you don't get in the Word of God and you don't meditate on the Word of God, there's no way for you to be skilled in the Word of God. If you don't even know who you are, as just other than being saved, you know, well, then there's going to be a little issue that Satan's going to come and he's going to wage a war at different times in there. And because you don't know how to fight because you don't got that word, the Bible says in Ephesians over there that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word is your weapon. It's your weapon against your own emotions. The enemy, he don't know how to handle a word person. Not a religious person, you know, but a word person, a person that loves the Lord. They take the Word of God as God's way of telling, this is who you are. This is what I've created you to be in Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. So when you hit that trial, you think that I am more than a conqueror, the Bible says. So this trial right here is not going to run me down. It's not going to cause me to raise a white flag. I'm not going to quit in my marriage. I'm not going to quit in my walk with the Lord. I'm not going to quit. I was telling Teresa today, look, social media challenges me to the max. Some believe you go to church. Some believe you don't. Some believe the gifts has died out and some don't. Some believe the apostles and prophets don't exist anymore, but you got the other fivefold, like you're supposed to cut that out somehow. You know? But I was telling Teresa today, I said, I've always been challenged, not just social media. Social media wasn't here when I got saved like it is now. So I didn't have that flow. But I had it out there everywhere I went. But I told her, I said, but the Word of God is what I'm going to believe. If the Bible says go to church, and it still does, then don't let the world convince you to stay home. Right? Well, you know, we're in modern times. No, you're trying, Satan's trying to get you to get out of this Bible that is past modern. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. And he come into our life, and Matt, you are not the same person you was before you give your heart to Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 5:17, that you're a new creation in Christ. I was a new creation. That's how come I'm still serving him today. Because I've not kept myself being a Christian for 33 years. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God. But now we got to go after him. It ain't like you get born again and every trial has just been flattened so that you don't have to do nothing. That's a wrong gospel. That's not a doctrine in the Bible. The Bible says over and over, fight. Be courageous. Don't fear. Occupy Jesus. Jesus said, do business. Win them to the Lord. Go work and believe I'll raise you up and you can build our church, Richard. We will let you. But God, you bring us 150,000 right quick. Richard's like, I can tithe on 3,000, but 3 million? You better tithe. I'm believing God gonna raise you up, Richard. Let them go ahead and persecute you for being blessed. I remember when you didn't have nothing. I remember I'm preaching, you blessed going in, blessed. And then he goes, and then before you know it, he comes to me and says, hey man, you know, that's kind of working. Sure it works. You're hearing the gospel, the word of God, hallelujah. He said he'll increase you more and more. You're going to have trials to come against that. God has already said it in there. You got to walk it out because of your faith in him that he said he would do it. But Matt, it's what we do with trials. I forgive people all the time. I used to be down there where I would cry for 2 days because I went to work and they persecuted me. Once I got to where I'm going to serve Jesus, whether they persecute me or not, then God began to show me about prosperity. Then I had to get this out again because I was crying. God, I'm just trying to prosper and they're saying you're not supposed to have and they're telling me a fat cat, blah, blah. See, I learned, and then you come into the church, and then you pour your heart out, and you feel like you lay your life down, and you feel like you've sacrificed a lot to have church, as you know it right now, this, you know. And then people won't come, and found myself in the bathroom when I lived at Rose over there, and what was I doing? I was crying. Yeah. That was me. And then God said, while I was in that bathroom crying, God said, how long are you going to let whether people come or go move you? How long? I went, now he's getting on to me, kind of like Travis with Aiden. Dry that up, boy, shut up. Enough crying. You done got on tickets, done over with, now move. Well, you got to learn to quit crying when people do you wrong. I just forgave somebody money they owed me the other day. God said, forgive them. And I thought, I don't want to. He said, well, you don't have to. He said, but forgive them for you. He said, you do it for you. He said, now what that is, I'm overcoming evil with good. I did not do it for the other person. When I forgive somebody, they might not even know they've done something to me, but they have. You are the only one that knows whether somebody has the capability of moving you or not. And when that happens, that's what part of casting your care over on the Lord. You cast it over on Him. You roll it over on Him. And then you walk like nothing has happened to you. Hallelujah. And you know how you can tell when you've got victory in that? You don't go telling everybody how wrong you've been done. Hallelujah. You forgive. Am I saying it's not real? No, it is very real. It is very real, but it's kind of like this. We used to have a lot of chickens, you know, and Teresa had a couple of hundred chickens or more, and she'd sell eggs, and boy, I got me some incubators, and I started incubating them little chickens off, and I told her, I said, I'm going to get you, I think I told her $12 a dozen or $24 a dozen. She said, how are you going to do that? I said, I'm going to incubate them off. You're getting $3 a dozen for those eggs, and I'm going to sell those little bitties for $2 a piece, and I'm going to get $24 a dozen. And so I started incubating them, and I was selling them, you know. But I would be impatient. Sometimes we get impatient in trials, and we fail. And then we have to go back again and take that test again. Aubrey, she told me, she said, Papa, I don't really want to go to school Friday. And it's on the way to church, Tracy rode a rocker, and there's Aiden. He said, are you going to drive, Papa? And I said, nah, the truck's going to drive itself, Aiden. Grandma's on the motorcycle. Sure, I'm going to drive. Anyways, she said, I don't really want to go Friday. And I said, well, she's got these tests and stuff, and she's not really felt like she measured up. And so I told her, I said, you know, I was thinking about myself, Johnny, jobs. Jobs that are terrible, jobs that don't work out and all of that. Happens all the time for 30 years. You know, you navigate your life through faith, and then you rest in that. You cross bridges when you get to them, when you get established in faith. You don't, you know, I don't cross bridges expecting them to happen. I expect them not to happen. But if it does happen anyhow, I told her, I said, well, Aubrey, I said, maybe you're going to have to do like Papa does at times. I said, Papa has to go to work sometimes and I don't want to. I said, sometimes Papa don't want to go to work because the job is going to be hard. It's going to be strenuous. It's going to be, you know, difficult. It's called trial. I told her, I said, but do like Papa. I said, when I know that I'm having to do that, I said, I talked to the Lord that morning and I asked Him to help me. I asked the Lord, Lord, I thank You for Your grace today, Your help, Your strength today, hallelujah. And I told her, I said, and He always helps Papa. I said, and He'll always help you. He'll help you in school. She needs to know that God will help her get straight A's if that's what her heart's desire. And the math or whatever it is, I ain't going to go around saying it's stupid, dumb. I don't know. I just ain't going to school myself. I'm not going back to school. But I'm going to help her through the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm helping her in her trial by telling her, lean on Him. When you're not strong, when you need a friend, I know it's talking about brothers, but the Lord, hallelujah. I'm helping her navigate in her trial, you know. But you know what? If I'm out here and I am a crybaby, and I have opportunities to cry, I could have cried tonight. I want the house full. Lord, I can't preach next Sunday because they didn't show up Wednesday. Satan will eat your lunch with that stuff. Hallelujah. See, don't dread trials. Use them. I mean, that is a prophetic statement. Don't dread trials. Use them. Use them to your advantage. Hallelujah. See, we're not up here as Christians trying to get victory. We already have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And everything that this world, temptation, trials, everything that comes at me has already been defeated in the spirit realm by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Nailed it to the cross. He nailed oppression. He nailed fear. He nailed sickness and disease and lack and poverty. And when we get born again, we come up here on the victory lane. Now, we still don't know it. I mean, the Bible says that he'll set us on a holy highway, a set apart highway that evil can't even cross on. See, the world wants to give you a picture of a weak Jesus. And some Christians. That's why we are supposed to be the light out there. We don't walk around cowing down, you know, because we're not all mature yet and we're not complete yet and we got flaws yet. Letting Satan use that. I sprayed for 2 hours the other day. These poppy weeds. These suckers are terrible. They come up, they're pretty, but you try to pull them up and they stick you. And man, if you leave them, they come up with a big, beautiful bud right in the top of it. Sucker's beautiful, man. And then it explodes and throws them everywhere. And then the wind blows them. And then you come back the next year and you're like, where's my grass? Took me 3 years to figure that out. Then I go over and I'm like, well, just don't worry about it right now. Don't worry about it. And then when I did get over there to spray them, I didn't have no grass left when everything died. And my cows are like, hey, dude, you're killing us. So this year, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get on top of everything. I'm going to stay on top of everything. So I done got all of my fences sprayed. I went over there and spent 2.5 hours over my whole pasture. And I got every one of them out of there. I defeated the trial. Amen. By diligence. Now I could have sat there, or you can sit there and say, well, God understands. They hurt me bad. God understands that every time I turn around, I'm being done wrong. Now you're copping out. You're absolutely copping out from the Word. That trial is meant to make you stronger, where when the next one comes, you're like, whatever. God's going to show up. Don't make no difference. God is going to show up. He wants you to experience the Word of God and not just know and hear it preached from here. He wants you to experience victory. Aubrey coming to Aiden, Sandy asked him, I was going to give him a big trial this spring because he wanted to quit last year. Sent him home because it's hot out there, Mac, in that garden, you know. Especially if you stay in the air conditioning, you get out there, you feel like you ain't going to make it to the next tomato vine. Well, I'm out there and it's cool to me, man. I'm like, I'm out here all the time. Well, anyhow, he's going to quit. Sent him home. Travis, nah, you ain't quitting. Go back down there, you ain't quitting. So anyway, made him finish out the year. I mean, that's a good thing. He's only 8. I know he's a kid. He wants to go do whatever he wants to do, and that's fine. So I took it easy on him, whether a year older. And so Sandy asked him, are you going to work or, you know, the fruit stand and all of that? And he looks up at me, and she said, what are you looking at Papa for? And so I just looked at him, and I said, well, it's totally up to you. He ain't started this year, so we don't have to start. But don't come in after get all the work done and then want some reward. Right? Don't expect it. So I got to let him know. And so last year, he's going to go out on his own. Don't that sound like a bunch of Christians sometimes? I'm tired of that church. I'm going over yonder, get me one over yonder where it ain't as hard, whatever the case might be. You know, so he says, well, I'm going to break from everybody. He said, I'm raising my own garden next year. I said, you are you? Yep, I'm planting my own garden, and I'm going to fix me on my own fruit stand over there, and I'm going to grow stuff that Aubrey don't grow, and I'm going to sell it. I said, oh, you are you? I said, okay. And so this spring, if he hadn't forgot about that, I was going to say, where are you going to plant it? You're going to have to go ask Dad where you can plant the garden. Well, time he got that settled, probably ain't going to happen. Then he's got to have a way to till the ground, right? See, when we're hooked into the body, there's a supply that we ain't going to have outside of it. And so, anyhow, none of that had to happen because I was going to tell him, you ain't got no tiller. You ain't borrowing mine. Get your own tiller. I told him, I said, Aiden, you don't even know how to fertilize. He said, I have saw you do it. Well, how much you put? Right? You put too much. That mater's like happy one day and sad the next day. Teresa told me the other day, I got me this new watering system. And I'm not having to strow the fertilizer anymore, so I'm getting a little gun happy. I can't wait to get some fertilizer to them babies. I want to see how this works. So I thought, man, don't do it while it's young. She kills some of them with that miracle grow, you know, when you see them. So anyways, I thought, I can't wait. So I went out there and poured me one. I went and bought me some dye. Yeah, food coloring. And I dripped it in there where I know when the fertilizer's gone because it's clear. You can't tell if it's gone or not. So I put it in there, poured my fertilizer in there, and it turned blue. The whole thing turned blue. And I thought, oh, yeah. Boy, I just shot it and sat there watching it, you know, and it's getting lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. So Teresa comes in there, and I thought, man, just do it once. It's a little too early for that. So she comes in there, see, impatient in that trial. I was impatient. I needed to wait another week. But no, I need to try it. So anyways, Teresa comes out there. She said, hey, that pepper is looking like it's getting too much fertilizer. And I said, well, I'll only give it. I said, I seen it on that squash. If you put too much in it, it'll start getting stripes on the leaves. That's terrible. That's too much. That's just starting. And so I told her, I said, well, look, you know, I said, I've seen it on that. No, it's in the over there in the peppers and all of that. And I thought, I'm letting that impatience, that's a trial. I'm going to let that impatience, because I've not been in. See, you ain't never been where you're at right now, Chloe. Are you 17? Nearly. You ain't never been 16. You ain't never been 18. I ain't never tried this where I'm at now, you know. But I'm believing God to give me wisdom where I'm at in this. I know that might sound crazy to you, but that garden, I sat down there and I just look at it. It's kind of like coffee to them too. They could drink coffee, wake up at 2:00 and go get a cup of coffee. I seen them go drag Jenny out up there. It lows at like 3:30 or 4 in the morning for a t-shirt. It wasn't even about the t-shirt, the coffee. That was a year or so ago, wasn't it? I said, Johnny Wimp, man, they are ferocious. Travis, I ain't going, hey, you ain't getting him out there if you give him 10. Not that early. 9:00? Yeah, 9. 12. That's even better. See, because he thinks I ain't got to work, so I'll stay up late. And he feels like he's been drunk for 3 days. Just 10 more minutes. It's 2:30. Well, I couldn't even go to work if I stayed up till 2:30, and I can tell you that right now. Praise the Lord. But you know, see, the trials that we're going to have, you're going to have one when you leave here more than likely. I get one when I get to the house and ride with Teresa. She goes up there, and we've been there 18 years. Her key is the same color. The same key. And there's times when she just can't find the right key. And I'm like, I can see it clear. She's going all around it. And I'm having to stand there, hold my Bible, just patiently waiting. I'm like, God, man, I could go break through the back door and get in quicker than that. See, I got it right then. Shouldn't have said it. Well, I was telling you my trial, hallelujah. You know, but I don't tell her, what are you, stupid? Come on, man. If you can't get it, get out of the way. I am in a hurry to do what? Praise the Lord. But I stand there, act like a man or a woman ought to. Right? I brought y'all women in too, because y'all were impatient too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know what? One time, Monty, I love Monty. I'm telling you, I love the boy. I told him to go down there, and I was calling him slow as a herd of turtles. I called him that several times. Terrible for your pastor to be calling you ugly names like that. That is like cussing you. It is. And so I go down there and I tell him, all right, man. I said, look, I want these lights because, I mean, he's just slow. So I was just putting him down there to hang the lights. So I go down there about an hour and a half into it and he's up there on the first one. And I'm like, what? Is that it? I said, what is it? Well, I had five. I mean, we ain't got till lunch. And so I said, well, here. I said, here, Monty. I said, here, let me get that. I got up there and I hung all of them in just about 45 minutes. Nothing down on Monty, but I failed. Monty didn't do nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. You know, I failed the impatient part. Hallelujah, I failed it. And then I went around and I'm like, man, Monty, he is slow as a herd of turtles. And I tell Monty, man, you're slow as a herd of turtles. He's like, well, you know. And then the Lord said, well, you're causing him to be slow. Do we believe what the Bible says? That death and life is in the power of what we say? See, and so I started saying, I'm very patient with everybody. I'm patient with everybody. I could sit around with y'all at the table and some of y'all are talk so about goofy stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I can handle this or not. I don't feel I'm clicking with you. You know what I'm saying? And so I think, well, just slide on out of here. And I'm thinking, nah man, don't be sliding on out of here. That's terrible. I mean, this has been happening for 30 years, 20 something years. You know, and then I'd be like, God would say, who's in control, you or your flesh? See, the Bible says in Romans that we are in the Spirit if we're born again. We're in the Spirit. We got to get out of the Spirit. We got to choose to get out. Through impatience, through trials, financial trials, I have them all the time. Just had a guy today. I mean, they've been trying to get me to get a debit thing, you know, where they can pay by cards, you know. Well, you know, I'm a kind of a mathematic guy, and so 3% over a whole year, if I let it come out of my pocket, is a lot of money. It could be $8,000, $10,000. It can be more than that because doors cost a lot of money, you know. And so this insurance, I'm giving insurance price on insurance job today, and so the insurance company called me and I got an invoice number, blah 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 blah, yeah. And he said, well, let's go ahead, he said, and get this secured. He said, I'm gonna give you a credit card. And I said, you ain't. I said, I don't accept credit cards. Well, I said, why don't you just mail me a check? They said, well, we don't do checks. And I said, well, that's a problem. I said, just pay the church and then they can pay me, you know. Well, I hung up, you know, and I thought, that's crazy. Cashless society. Going to a cashless, you know, you can't even go pay cash for your water bill. What are we going to do? Do I need to go get the cry thing out, or are we going to grow? Get that cry baby out. Gripe about it for three months. No. What do? We engage and say all things work together for the good. Lord, it might be a little inconvenient the way things have to be in my life, like Aubrey, but Lord, you work all things together. That's how you go forward in trials. You got to bring the Word of God in. You got to do something with the trial to cause yourself to advance. Hallelujah. I mean, Richard, it's got pretty bad to me that We our services are down shorter than they've ever been, you know, three times a week. We don't even have Sunday night. And you see people on the beach, you see them spend all they've got on their boats, on their all that, and you can't get them dedicated to the things of God. They'll dedicate to everything. The Lord told me the other day, he said, you know, you do exactly what you want to do. He said, if it costs you everything and you really want to do it, you do it. He said, you bought things, even knowing you shouldn't bought it. He said, it's because you wanted to buy it and you bought it. Some of them bitchy, some of them didn't. Praise the Lord. And so the word of God, this is what it is. You know, you take a garden. If I don't keep the weeds out of that garden, out of those tomato plants, and I don't keep water to it, or it don't get water, or I don't fertilize that thing, I'm telling you, it'll sit there and it'll grow, but it won't produce much fruit at all. That's exactly the way we are. The Word of God and prayer, not just the Word of God. You know, prayer, fasting, believing God, learning to be skillful in the Word of God, that is where the development comes from. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I'm believing God that Aubrey, she's coming across there, and Aiden, he said, hey, Papa. I said, yeah, I think this was yesterday. I said, yes, Aiden. He said, I think I need another week to think about it. He's been thinking about that, whether he's going to work this summer or not. And I said, well, that's totally up to you. And he said, well, how much is Aubrey going to make? And I said, well, I don't have no clue. I said, you know how that goes. You start working, you selling, you make money. Well, on the other hand, I ain't going to give him a number. So Aubrey, I told her, I said, y'all made $200 a piece. That's pretty good money for a 10-year-old, 9-year-old. For 3 months, peeling around. And so I told Aubrey, walking across the earth, I said, hey, I said, you made $200 last year. I said, I'm believing God to increase, and you believe God to increase, what Richard just got up there and said. It's not just for us adults. So she's going to have a mentality of God increasing me, God helping me in school, God helping me when I start to work, God helping me whenever them little boys try to come in and they're ungodly, and it's going to help because her heart's already and his heart's already going to be towards the Lord. If you think Satan ain't going to intervene and try to plug our kids up with ungodly kids, you're wrong. You're mistaken. You know, it's not that the kids are bad. They've been raised up outside of God. The Bible says that Christians cannot be yoked together with non-believers. You can, but you're asking for it. I've had business opportunities, somebody that is very successful in all of that, and them lost without God, and God say to me, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with non-believers. Praise God. Now, you know, see, you got a bunch of Christians that their emotions say, well, I mean, you don't want to discriminate against. No, nobody's discriminating. God said what he said, and we obey God. We believe God. We ain't talking about nobody. We're talking about our Creator, our God, that has saved us and kept from doom and destruction and wrath, that has given us eternal life here and blessings here. And if he says for me not to be unequally yoked together, I choose as a devout believer that if I do, that it's not going to be well with me. Paul said you are free to do anything you want to do. See, I don't take the Word of God as a bunch of rules and regulations for my life. I take the Word of God as a lamp and a light, a lamp into my path and a light to my feet. Whatever, I quoted it backwards, but that's the way I take it. If I went by my emotions, I would have divorced her probably 2 or 3 million times. My wife. I said something about her up the other day and everybody up there at that church. I'm not religious. I'm real. Emotions are real. Feelings are real. Thoughts are real. The devil is real. But God's word is settled and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I choose to love my wife as Christ so loved the church. Well, then I don't ever divorce her. Right? I don't ever. I do what Christ does the church. I'm a perfect at it. She'll tell you no, but I'm close. She's going to ride her rocker. She's just being funny. She said, I think I'll ride that rocker to church tonight, her motor scooter. And I said, well, that's good. That's fine. Go on there a little bit. And she said, I don't know. It's going to be dark. And so I just turned. I said, what, are you scared of the dark? I said, have you got scared of the dark now? You know. It didn't used to matter. Dark or not. You know. I started to say, what do you think? Somebody's going to come up behind you, snatch you off of it in the dark? She said, no. She said, but you can cut the sermon short. And I said, that's it. I said, you're not going to bring that to me. Now, she was just being funny, you know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But if I thought she was real, I would go, ping. Sometimes I don't voice what I think. But I stand firm in here. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to repent when I need to repent. I'm going to change when I know God's wanting me to change. Hallelujah. I've seen him change that woman. I'm amazed. She's one of the most anointed Sunday school teachers I know of on the planet. What if I'd have got rid of her a long time ago? Man, I would have got hooked up with the devil's daughter. I guarantee you. And I'd still be in hell right now. Praise God. But see, you can't let your trials move you over into the emotional realm. Because when you get over into the emotional realm, you're subject to fear, you're subject to unbelief and doubt and all of that stuff that's going to take, that's going to cost you victory. Praise God. So when trials comes to your life, always remember, you're going to remember that crybaby thing. When you cry, you're going, oh God. That crybaby thing. There's something about them images. There's just something about them. You know, I used to say it and it would really get on people's nerves. And it wasn't because I was trying to criticize, but it was just, they would get in their pity party and they would just, nobody knows. It reminded me of that song, nobody knows the troubles I have. So I asked one guy one time, I said, ask your sister if she's going through anything. Go over and ask them. Go over. Boy, time they got done, his was little. His trials were little. I said, see? I said, you think you're the only one goes through trials? I said, but they, some of them over there, that sister was been doing good till you asked her if she really was, and then she brought out all she was going through. Then your little trial wasn't as big as what you thought. You know? Praise God. That's why the Word of God levels the playing field for every believer. Because everybody don't work in a machine shop. Richard out there, you ought to see him on Facebook. He's anointed. But he's funny. He's out there 13% off, folks. 13. And he's over there crying. One of them. Hey, y'all crying because you're hardly sitting out in the rain. You could show them a shed. Boy, look at this shed. Praise the Lord. And I'm thinking, man, that dude right there, he's a salesman too. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? Got the joy of the Lord. Believe in God. This is the route. So you use what you got. You use what you have and you believe God all alone. Praise the Lord. Travis one time, he got this YouTube stuff, whatever it was. He going to get wealthy on her singing. He going to get a bunch of hits on her singing. I told the Lord, I said, God, you're going to have to help him. It didn't say Travis's nice voice will make him rich and add no sorrow. It didn't say YouTube. It didn't say the gifts and talents you've given him to use it to all of that stuff, Lord. You're going, and now on down the road, he's up here saying, God, I want the anointing. I don't want to be an entertainer. I want the anointing, God, because the anointing's what's going to change the people. Now he's off of Travis and about the kingdom. True riches. And then God just pours it out. pours it out, increases the money out there, and seek first the kingdom. See, the kingdom is in you, and you're to take care of the kingdom in you. Keep yourself from fear and unbelief and Satan planning and plotting. He told Travis, you know, he was telling Travis, and Mamaw helped him out, because Mamaw didn't really want him to have any what she thought was rules. You got to go to bed at 9 o'clock. You're not staying out. Ain't nothing good past 10 o'clock. You coming in. And they, can they go out an hour later? What for? There's nothing good out there after 10 o'clock and a lot before that. And so he, Mamaw tells him, well, when you get 18, they can't tell you what to do. How many knows that Satan coming through Mamaw or whoever it is? He's 17, 16, 17. And so he gets fed up, and he just said that when I get 18, I'm going blah, 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 go live with Mamaw. I said, oh, you are you? I said, you're going to pay me to live with Mamaw because I pay Mamaw's bills. I said, so when you move in with Mamaw, you're going to start paying me $50 a week. So you can go live with Mamaw, but you're not freeloading. I told him, he's my only son. I said, you're not going to freeload off of Mamaw. Mamaw, you know. And so he changed his mind. He going to leave one time, and Teresa told him all he's going to get is his underwear because we bought everything else. We had bought all of his clothes, so she told him. She said, you leave, but all you're getting is your underwear. She just didn't want him to leave naked. See, to a lot of the church, that right there is abuse. That's not being their friend. That, you know, you're trying to put them. I had one of my sisters one time, because he was required, as long as he lived in my house, he's going to church with me, not with Beth. Gosh, y'all were quiet. Is this rough or what? Good, ain't it? Well, where's he at today, Matt? 30-something years. I'm talking about 15 years. He's sound. He loves the Lord. He ain't warped up about nothing, because his daddy and his mom and y'all guys that has been in there showing him the real thing, the real faith. See, it's not hard once you surrender to his will. It gets easier and easier to do the will of God the more that my heart and your heart is to surrender to do the will of God. Hallelujah. It gets easier. You enter into faith is what you do. Now, are you going to have to deny things, your thoughts, and cast them down? No, yes, you will. You're going to have to. You're going to have to renew your mind to the Word of God. It's just like me. I have said it for almost 30 years. I'm 59 years old. I have said it for almost 30 years. I will not live off of Social Security alone. And it's looking pretty promising at 59. But I said it for 30 years, glory to God. And I've told Teresa before, I'm a millionaire. Walked up to that auction down here in Bluntsville the other day and knew most of the guys, and walked up to that one guy, and he said, there's that millionaire. He looked at me and I thought, he never heard me say that. He said, there's that millionaire. You can buy that and that and that. And I saw, I looked at him, and all of them standing there, and they're just looking at me. And I said, I'm almost there. And then half of them left. There goes your persecution without saying a thing. They should have hung around. I might have bought their tractor. Have I got a million? No, Mac, I ain't. But bless God, I'm headed to wealthy land. Hallelujah. It might be way more than me. I might be limiting God like in Psalm 78. I might ought to stop saying that and say, cut it loose, God, whatever you want. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. You might be going through trials. Don't be one of them Terry trials every day. It's just climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. If it ain't one thing, it's another. You create your hardship. You create it. Because he talks about the other guy named Victor. He's going up the same mountain, climbing the same mountain. And boy, he ain't struggling. He just vroom, right over that. He been keeping good gas in your car, keeping your heart clean, right? Keeping your mind straightened out towards God's word. See, Satan will come to your mind, well, it's just because you got this and you got this and you got this and this running your family and all. There's a lot running my family that I don't pick up. But God, I just don't pick it up. I carry a loaded gun of faith, hallelujah. Every one of us can. It ain't because I'm a preacher. I'm only a preacher when I'm here, hallelujah. That gift operates here. Out there, I'm just like everybody. I'm a civilian, just like everybody. I'm a sheep. And I am his sheep, and I do hear his voice. And another one I will not follow, and I'm believing that for you. I'm believing God to increase you, praise God. I'm believing God in my life that this church will be tripled by the time this year ends or better, people-wise, with people with a heart after God and doing ministry. I'm believing God for my business to triple this year what it did last year, hallelujah. And when I'm believing God, I'm like, nah, I'm going to gear up and work, God. I'm going to work with you, the blessing, making me rich, and I'm going to work with it. So I want to encourage you. Don't let trials defeat you. Don't let the enemy, praise God, don't let that doctrine out there. I mean, Satan's got a wide open feed on social media now. And you know what? If you don't stay in the Word of God and stay focused on the Word of God, he'll slip something in. He'll slip that stuff in there, praise God, and cause you to doubt God. And because of unbelief, Jesus couldn't do nobody but just touch a few folk, hallelujah. But not here, amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that we...